Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to be here this evening. So good to see everyone, and I'll reminisce probably through the different messages or whatever, but I just want to thank everybody. You've made a great investment in my life, from the pastoral staff to the lay ministries, all the different inputs that you all have put into our family. We've used every bit of it. Let me tell you, it's taken everything we've got, you know, as far as training. To plant churches over there on the island of Guam. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to start with in this missions conference? And you know, we're going to hear a lot about missions, I'm sure, the technicalities and the mechanics of missions, why we send missionaries, and the needs that are abroad. But folks, the greatest thing that we can give in relation to missions this evening is that we surrender our heart to God. That we have a personal revival before God. And I'd like to go, if we could, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And I'd like to challenge all of us in relation to our relationship to the Lord and the strength that He can give us so that we might have His mindset. And I think of it this way. Without the local church, you have a Paul and a Barnabas. But you can't send a Paul and a Barnabas without an Antioch. So you got to have the local church. And the local church in the States or wherever you're sending missionaries from has got to be on fire for God. We have got to be fired up about missions. We got to understand, hey, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of this earth. And I ask you tonight, are you fired up about missions? Are you fired up about souls? Have you won a soul to the Lord recently? Have you had an opportunity to witness? Have you shared your faith? The idea this evening is that we think about how close that we would put ourselves in a place where God could use us for His honor and glory. Whether it's in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, or whether it's overseas in Micronesia, or India, or wherever it might be, we have to be in a place where God can use us. And what does God want? He wants our heart. It's not all about our head. It's about our heart. And folks, this evening I'd like to start in 1 Thessalonians 5, where the Bible says, But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. Father, this evening I ask that you will use your word in the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to the needs that are represented. And I pray, Father, that you will burden our heart, whether we're those that are being sent or whether we're those doing the sending and the praying. I pray, Father, that you'd use us all for your honor and for your glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I'm not trying necessarily to talk about the end times this evening. But what I want to remind us about is that if you study 1 Thessalonians, you're going to see the rapture in chapter number 4. How many of you know for sure you're going to heaven? All right, when Jesus comes, you're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, right? Therefore, what I'm concerned about is this idea of judgment that comes after the rapture in what we know as the period of the day of the Lord. Because those that are left behind are going to face judgment like we have never seen before in mankind. They are going to face a time of judgment. They're going to face a time of punishment. There will be people that believe on the Lord, but they're going to be beheaded for their faith in Christ. There are going to be those that the Lord takes into the millennial kingdom after His second coming. But folks, what I'm concerned about is that we're not sleeping now. That if we understand that when Jesus comes, we're going to be with Him at the rapture, then are we not concerned about those that will be left behind? The day of the Lord is going to happen. Just as sure as the rapture is going to take place, we have got to be fervent. We have got to be serious or sober-minded in relation to the judgment that will follow the rapture of the church. And missions is all about seeing souls reconciled unto God. It doesn't matter the location. It matters the message. It matters the Savior matters. And He's the only one that we preach. Does the old-fashioned gospel work? I'll tell you, folks, without the old-fashioned gospel, people are not going to be saved. Unless people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not have forgiveness of sins, and they will not be delivered. They will not be at this time of the rapture. They're going to be left in the time of the judgment. Missions is all about fighting for souls. It's all about ministries. It's all about caring. It doesn't matter whether you're the newsboy or you're the one with buying the subscription. It doesn't matter as much as just getting the gospel to other people. Folks, without you, the gospel's not going to go. Without born-again Christians understanding the seriousness and the sobriety of missions, unless we understand that all these nations need to be reached, and that was what God intended when He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm a missionary. I'm excited about missions. But you all are local missionaries as well, and you got to be excited about missions. Some people say, Brother Sean, aren't you tired of going from church to church? Well, it depends. If the church is excited about Jesus Christ, if the church is excited about the gospel, if the church is trusting in the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them, then it's like a revival for me. But if the church has got their eyes off the Lord, and the church is no longer focused on the things that matter but petty things, if the church is divided and the church is distracted, then you know what? The work of the ministry becomes really hard. But if we're surrendered and we're ready and we're willing, then you know what? It becomes rejoicing. Every time, even in times of oppression, every time the apostles stood up against the authorities, every time they were faithful to God, they came away doing what? Rejoicing. Every single time. And every time we obey. Every time we submit, every time we do what the Lord asks us to do, you know what we do? We come away rejoicing. It's only when we battle. Folks, there have been times, I know some of you, this semester just started, yes? Some of you aren't tired yet. But I remember. I remember the work schedule. I remember the class schedule. I remember the ministry, the bus schedule. I remember all the different things that were needed, all the different things that were necessary. I remember how tired I felt sometimes in the pew sitting where you are. But folks, every time I surrendered and obeyed the Lord, He blessed. I'm about the shyest guy you're ever going to meet as far as missions or preaching or anything like that. But when it's time to deliver the message, there's no problem. Why? Because this weak vessel, one brother said, morose, right? We're little. We're empty. We're not much. But when God is in it, there is a lot of power behind it. And so the idea for us tonight is to be reminded. We are a local church. We are the institution that God has deemed necessary to reach the world with the gospel. We have a part today that we can share the gospel around the world. And we ought not hold back. We ought to be bold as lions. We ought to be willing to give everything that we have for the cause of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Sean, is it all about money? It says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 that the Macedonians first gave their own selves to the Lord. It starts with ourselves. And folks, without strong local churches, the missions ministry is over. And I say to you this evening, from one missionary to another, let's revive ourselves and let's think about the end times. Let's put our focus on the future. Let's not wallow in self-pity, but let's think about the fact that Jesus is coming again. And let's be busy until He comes. Doesn't matter what they're doing in Washington, though, we ought to do our best. We ought to vote. We ought to be responsible. We ought to do our part. But what happens in Washington is irrelevant to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about worldwide. Jesus is going to come again where? It's not going to be Washington. Surprises somebody probably, right? You think it's going to be Washington, D.C.? Jesus is coming back to the Mount of Olives, isn't He? He's going to come back as Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. But before he brings that judgment upon mankind, and by the way, it deserves it, he's going to take us out of there. And we're going to be with him on white horses. Folks, I'm excited to serve the Lord. I'm not much. This vessel isn't everything. It may not be a vessel of gold. It may just be of clay. But if it's clean and it's usable, then every vessel can be used for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight you're preparing for ministry. Can I ask you something? Focus on Jesus Christ. Don't focus on accolades. Don't focus on education. The mind is critically important. We have to have sound doctrine. But you know what I found? We put so much investment in the sound doctrine that we neglect the Great Commission. The great commandment is this: love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. And the second is like unto it: love thy neighbor as thyself. But I say to you, if we're doctrine, 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 and please understand, I'm all about sound doctrine, rightly dividing the word of truth. But if you spend 90% of your time sharpening the sword and only 5% of your time actually using the sword, you got to think about this. We spend a lot of time sharpening and not a lot of time using. We are called in Romans chapter number 1. The Bible says that Paul was separated unto the gospel. And he says he's called to be an apostle. And he also says, but you also are called to be saints. Hagios, holy ones. Here in our text, we are to be light. We are to be light in darkness. What does it mean to be light? It means to be different. It means to reflect the righteousness of God. Let me see if I can find my way back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Notice the difference. In verse number 3, you see these pronouns. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. They are without excuse this evening. They have no opportunity of reconciliation outside of Jesus Christ. And that's our purpose. That's our challenge, that we are able to take them and minister that reconciliation to them through the love of Jesus Christ. Look what the contrast. But ye, brethren, are not darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Folks, we got to be thinking about the future. We got to be busy about being light. If I take you, can I just quickly go over to Proverbs? The fourth proverb, it says this: but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Let me ask you a question. Is this world full of darkness? Then I have to recognize, am I being the light that God intended for me to be? Am I being used of God? Am I being bright for God? Or am I being divided or distracted by the things that this world offers? Folks, we got to be light. I can show you, if we went to 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What's missions? Missions is reaching the lost. And the gospel is hid unto them. What is their end? Their end is destruction. Would we stand at a precipice and watch people as they walk over that precipice to their doom? Or would we try to stop them? It's got to be a revival in our hearts. It's got to be stirring that is real, that makes us move, that we just don't talk about it, but we actually do it. Verse number 4 of the same text. In whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Jesus came as light, didn't he? That's what it says in John chapter 1. John chapter 3 says that men love darkness rather than their light, the light. John chapter 8 says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ ascended up to the Father. Who did he delegate the light to be? Us. And what institution did he give us to send not only to our Jerusalem, but around the world? What institution? The New Testament local church. Folks, aren't you excited? I'm excited to be saved. I'm excited to be a part of a local church. I'm excited to be a missionary, but it's not all excitement. My faith is based on the truths that we have in Scripture. That judgment is sure. That we have got to get busy. That we've got to do something for the Lord while we can. Because the time is short and the time draweth nigh. I'm not discouraged at all about the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. I have seen it. We have seen people saved in every people group on the island of Guam. You know why? Because it is not my power, it's God's power. We have seen little children being saved, and we have seen older men 60 years old are receiving Christ as their Savior. But you know what? Their lives are totally transformed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, this evening I want us to think about, I know this isn't new, but I know this, that without you, missions is dead. Without you, as part of a local church, there is not going to be any missionary sent around the world. Sometimes we take the missionary, and I understand what's being said. We lift the missionary up. The missionary is just one of you that God sent to another place. We're planting the same kind of church over there that you would plant right here. We're doing the same thing over there. We're preaching the same gospel. We're singing the same hymns. We're doing the same thing, except for overseas. Just cost us a little more to get over there, that's all. But we got to work together. You know what I love about this? I love the fact that the Thessalonians are all working together. I love the fact that they understand that it's going to take light in a dark place for people to see a difference, for people to understand. You know, I could stand up and I could be as carnal as anybody in this world can be, and I can preach the gospel and preach the gospel and preach the gospel. But what we've got to see is we've got to see somebody that not only preaches the words, but lives the light, that lives the life, that understands that we're sinners. That we're saved by God's grace, and that we serve by the same grace that He's given to us. Folks, this evening, we have been given the opportunity to be light. You know, somebody called me recently, someone pretty close to me, and this is what they said. This is going to sound weird, but I've been doing some reading, and the way that these red moons are lining up, I'm thinking that we're going to have a catastrophic disaster in America and around the world. I'm not exactly sure who he was reading, or I'm not. I know it's the simplicity. We're not going to know the time or the season. But this is what he said. He said, "I want you to know that if you're out there at the time we were heading to Florida, I want you to know, Sean, if you need a place to go, I've stocked up water, I've stocked up canned goods, I've got canned goods for 6 months." This is a serious conversation that I'm having. I've even bought weapons because I know that once the disaster, the catastrophe happens, that we're gonna have to find a place of refuge. And I want you to know that I prepared for you and your family to come to my place. I think that was supposed to be like the 29th and the 23rd and the whatever, right? And please, you know, understand I'm. What I'm saying is, if the reality that man believed caused him to stock up canned goods, water, even weapons in preparation for this. And we know that, the rapture is going to take place and all those left behind are doomed to judgment. Then wouldn't it behoove us to understand a little bit more about the gospel that we're supposed to be preaching? It's not complicated. It's simple. And it's step by step. We are going to make mistakes. If anybody knows that a believer is going to make mistakes along the way, it's me. I made enough mistakes. But I've had people that are described in this same chapter. I've had this type of people ministering in my life. And they help and they're patient. They're enduring. Folks, this evening, are we the light that we need to be? You say, well, I'm not called to go around the world. Then let's make sure that we're praying. Let's make sure that we're reaching our Jerusalem. And let's make sure that we're investing in those that can actually get there. Our little church over in Guam, we support 9 missionaries. But I'll tell you, it's the mission program doesn't determine the fervency of the church. It's the fervency of the church first. It's an Antioch first. It's the Bereans, the Macedonians first. And that energy and that excitement and the truth of that doctrine, that's what drives missions. Then you see a heart, hearts that are fired up for the Lord. And then you see missionaries being sent all over the place. It's not backwards. It's because we want to reach the world with the gospel. We understand the truth, not just for Guam, but for Ponape, for Chuuk, for different islands around us and places around the world. We support someone in Malawi, Africa. I said, folks, can we not support somebody that could actually visit our island? You know, just so maybe we could have a missions conference or something like that, you know? It's fun to be saved. It's fun to know you're cleansed, right? To be forgiven. But when I think of the battle, that's when I start to get sober. That's when I start to get serious. That's when I understand that God has placed that responsibility upon me, and He's placed that responsibility upon you. That we have got to recognize that we have every opportunity. We may not have as much as the next person. It doesn't matter. God wants our heart. He wants our surrender. He wants our submission. He wants us to deliver the message that He has given us to. He wants our faithfulness. There are people here that are gathered here this evening that were here when I graduated, when I was an ambassador, 15 years ago? You don't know Mama? Mama's lost track. 8 kids later, 8 children later, she's lost track. She doesn't know where she is. I think she's got us going to Minnesota next week. let me find our way back here for just a few more minutes. So my question is, how are we dealing with the light? Are we taking that opportunity? You know, it's like passing the baton on. If we're really serious about it, we're going to do some preparation, right? If we're serious about the Great Commission, are we going to do something about it? Just like this guy is serious that the end of the world is coming, I believe Jesus is coming. I believe that after we're with Him, that's the last opportunity I'm going to have. And so let's take it. Let's do all that we can. Look at verse number 8, please. It says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet the hope of salvation." The expectation that one day this body is going to be glorified, that our salvation will be fulfilled, justified, sanctified, and glorified. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, as Paul was a debtor to those that were around him, we are debtors to those that don't have Christ around us. And so that is what we've got to consider. I've been delivered. Well, what about them? That's the goal. In verse number 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together." Now this I love. I read this a lot because I like the emphasis on the local church. I like the emphasis on the light in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I like the emphasis on the unity that it's going to take in the body. Here it says right here, wherefore comfort yourselves, believers, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, at peace, and be at peace among yourselves. Now let me just stop for a moment. You got some younger adults here. We have got to learn submission. We're putting on faith, and we're putting on love. We have on our helmet, we have the hope of salvation, the expectation that one day we're going to be glorified and with Jesus forever. But if we don't learn submission, we are going to take on the characteristics of the rebel, the same rebel that was cast out in Isaiah. That same rebellion that was passed on to Adam and passed on to Eve. The same rebellion that we see in Cain. The same rebellion that we see before the flood. The same rebellion that built the Tower of Babel. Folks, I have had to learn this sometimes the hard way. That God places individuals in authority. And that we as local church members have got to find our place in the chain of command. And we've got to do everything for the corporate good. It's for the gospel. It's not for how we look or how we feel or what we think. It's for the purpose of preaching the gospel, for reaching our area, for seeing God glorified. And we got to learn over and over. Think about the people that learned to submit. You got Caleb, right? You got a Joshua. You got the three Hebrew young men. You got a Daniel. There are men and women that understood the importance of submission to authority. Those of us that were ex-military, we understand real quick that the mission is over. We're not called to critique. We're called to obey. Right? We're not called to critique. We're called to obey. You say, Brother Sean, is it that simple? It is that simple. Look at what it says here. You wanna see what a normal Christian life, a description of it? Here it is. Now we exhort you, brethren. This is our function. Warn them that are unruly. The word unruly there, it means disorderly or out of ranks. And it doesn't mean strong warning. It has more the idea of to encourage strongly in a particular way, to exhort someone to do right. To admonish them. Why? You see somebody that's out of ranks? What do? You know what? If you're not on post, hey, if you're sleeping on watch, you better wake up, because the enemy could come and you might not be ready. But look at what it says. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. These are all ministries that are functioning outside of yourself. These are looking for somebody that has a need. These are all in the context of the local church. And they're all in the context of a chain of command. Somebody has authority. Somebody, maybe it's a parent. That's a spiritual leader in someone's life. We've got to learn to submit to our parents. We've got to learn to do what they ask us to do. But listen to this description. I love this. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And this is the description. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. We're to be a rejoicing people. You know why? Our destiny is settled, yes? What can Satan do to me? Oh, he can oppress me. As was mentioned, right? He can get into our technics, right? I have my son with me. Because I'll tell you what, Satan could just... I mean, I don't know anything about computers and stuff like that. But we've got to rejoice. You know, sometimes people look at us as Christians and they say they're just sourpusses. Nobody can ever do anything right. I'll tell you what, there should be joy. Joy that Jesus says should be full. We ought to be a rejoicing people, and even in times that are difficult. I understand that. But it says, pray without ceasing. Be people of prayer. What does that mean when we pray? It means we're dependent upon God, right? It means that we understand our place, that we understand our need, that we're going to go to a power that is higher than us so that He can help somebody else or meet a particular need. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We got to be a thankful people. We've got to be grateful to God. How many of you that have children like it when your parents act or expect you to do something and they're ungrateful? We don't like that very much, do we? Well, you know what? Our Heavenly Father expects us to be grateful. I don't see the Great Commission as a burden, do you? I see it as an opportunity that God has placed in our path that we can accomplish, whether it's at a nursing home, whether it's part of a bus ministry, whether it's reaching kids in a public school. It doesn't matter. God has given us the opportunity. I stand there every other Saturday in a Roman Catholic nursing home. And to get to this place where I preach, I have to walk through a 20-foot statue of Mary. And you know what Mary's got on her head? She's got a golden crown. Because that's what the Catholic Church teaches. She was immaculately conceived. She was sinless. And she's equal to the Son of God. Oh, but you know what I do? I just go in there with the family and some of the church members, and I just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you want to know the favorite service that they have there at the Roman Catholic nursing home? It's the Baptist service. You know why? Because it's not all gibberish. It's not Latin mixed with English. It's not foreign to them. It's not repetition. It's the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, it's the little things. Little as much. And I'd sing to you if my throat wasn't raspy. Believe me, I do it. Sometimes I do, don't I, Mama? Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. We can do it if God is with us, right? Let's despise not prophesying. Let's prove all things. Let's hold fast to that which is good. Let's abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. God has commissioned us. But folks, it's got to be real in our Christian life before we consider taking it across the world. We've got to recognize that it all starts right here. Whether you're young or whether you're older, missions all is all about delivering a message with a surrendered heart. Maybe tonight God has impressed upon somebody to go to a mission field. Maybe tonight He's impressed you upon your heart to become more involved in this local church ministry, to become active in the missions program. Maybe He's just impressing upon your heart that the fellowship, walk in the light as He is in the light. You'll have fellowship one with another. So understanding that maybe your fellowship is not quite what it ought to be. Maybe we're not manifesting the characteristics of a Christian that has victory. We're not rejoicing. We're not praying. We're not thankful and so forth. Maybe those are the things that we individually must deal with. I know this. That if God can send Sean Quinlan across the world to preach the gospel, He can send anybody. And I believe that. Because it makes no difference who it is, as long as that person is willing to go, as long as that person is willing to send, and as long as that person is willing to pray. God will use us in the context of a local church ministry to do His work in Jerusalem and around the world. I'm asking you to look inside and to ask yourself, am I that close to where if God tapped me on the shoulder, I'd be in Labrador? If you're that close to go to Labrador, you have no problem investing in a missions program in the local church until He sends you there. But we first give our own selves to the Lord. And then we prove the sincerity of our love.